brought to you by Penguin.
Before My Actual Heart Breaks by Tish Delaney, read by Saoirse Monica Jackson. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Traditional Gaelic blessing. 2007, The Road Rises Up. Chapter 1. People drown because they have to breathe in. They can't not. Grandad Ann told me that at the wake of a fisherman over 30 years ago. His voice tickles my ear, and I'm back in that room with him and my Auntie Eileen and the fascinating remains of the blue-lipped Bart MacGrim. I've never forgotten those words. When that night floats close, I hold my arms out and hug it to me. And I am once again that 11-year-old girl. A girl who was out of reach of her mommy for the first time ever. A girl who thought the local fortune teller would finally confirm her wildest dream. One day, maybe that very day, she would grow wings and fly. Poor old MacGrim. He worked that river his whole life, dreaming of landing the perfect fish, and now he'll never know there was a fine salmon on his line when he was found. Isn't that the saddest thing you've ever heard, wee Mary? I put on my best pious face and sighed. I wanted Grandad to be in no doubt that I was all growing up. But my chance to shine was ruined by Auntie Eileen, who tutted and fodded at him before she hustled me away. She didn't want anyone, including her father, egging me on. Even then, I had a reputation for whimsy. I was not supposed to be in with the big men puffing on pipes and telling tales. They were enjoying the respite of a nearly natural death in 1970s Northern Ireland. The troubles rumbled constantly overhead like a thunderstorm. Only tonight, there would be no visits from the RUC or the British Army because it wasn't a wake for anyone involved in the ARA. There was every chance one of the big men would have one whiskey too many and left me up to kiss MacGrim's dead cheek just for the crack. I had been designated to help the lady folk with the tea because Auntie Eileen only had her daughter Bernie, and Bernie was not well enough to navigate kitchens or corpses. There was no shortage of help. Kettles were boiling, big steel teapots were being filled, a production line of bread butters, fillers and slicers were arranged around the table, knives and tongs moving at speed. A lot of good strong tea is drunk over Northern Irish remains. The mourners are sorry for your trouble while they eye up the quantity and quality of the ham sandwiches flying round on the fine china wheels of borrowed cake stands. It was already past 9 o'clock, but the wake wouldn't thin out until after midnight. I was employed to cut up a heavily laden fruitcake that someone had baked and brought to feed the mourners. For some reason, kindness or madness, they had fashioned a fish out of candied orange peel on the top with an alarmingly large glacé cherry eye. It looked up at me, succulent and pink, and begging questions. Auntie Eileen, what happened to salmon?
What salmon?
Dead MacGrim's salmon, the one he caught.
For God's sake, Mary, you wee spook. You're worse than Granny Moo.
Get that cake onto a plate and get round the wands in the front room. Tell them fresh tea's coming. I'd run on, laughing at the swipe of the tea towel on my backside. Auntie Eileen had never helped me in her life. She was the reason I knew it was possible to spare the rod and not spoil the child. She was the reason I knew I wasn't nothing, though Mummy had told me I was in every way, every day. I remember watching her as I have 100 times since. She was a fair beauty with her wild black hair and a high knot and her famous Ban Radigan clan white eyes, which are in fact a pale grey-green. She moved from one person to the next with a sunshine smile at every step. She put her arms around my neck when the fortune teller Decker McHugh blew in, stinking of pigs and drink.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?